Green means go. Red means don't go or won't go. Okay, tonight, once again, in the Revelation, chapter number 16, primarily, we'll read a few verses in chapter 15. And we are reading and studying tonight the wrath of the Lord. When we look at these verses, these seven vials or bowls of wrath will bring us to the very conclusion of the tribulation. And that conclusion is that God destroys the enemies and will bless his people. And so when you in chapter 16, it gives you a picture of what's going to take place in those last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. We have studied the trumpets and the seals, and all those things bring us to a certain point. And now tonight we look in these seven vials, as the scripture gives us indication that it's like a bowl or a pitcher, and there's full of the wrath of God, and it is poured out upon this world. Our world tonight is very much in opposition to righteousness. The people that live upon planet Earth, for the most part, are anti-Christian. And they have set themselves up to do what they want to do. The kings, the rulers, and even the priests and the religious crowd, they set themselves up to do what they desire to do. And there's coming a day when God gets tired of that, and it's all set in motion. And what we're seeing even today, I believe what we're seeing in our world system is a gathering of people together that one day God's going to bring judgment upon them. I don't know how much you noticed or how much you really were aware of the things that took place this week in the attempted overthrow there in Turkey. The leader of Turkey is very much Islamic, and he is trying his best, and it is being accomplished to make Turkey an Islamic state. He has overruled much of the Constitution. He has set himself up primarily as ruler, and he has appointed judges and everything that goes along with his particular way of thinking. And the army that rose up against him, according to the Turkish Constitution, that is the army that is the protector of the country and a protector of the Constitution. And they saw what was taking place, and they tried to overthrow him and did not accomplish that. And I read an article today. I read it a couple of times just to get all the details about it. And the article said the coup was defeated, now darkness moves in. And in the next few weeks, we may see a big change in the country of Turkey, and it's very important because Turkey is a very important ally to this nation. From Turkey, we are able to do a lot of different things in the Middle East. Turkey is that gateway to Europe from the Middle East, and it's very very strategic. And so I think all those things that are taking place, everything that's happening, I don't think we ought to be alarmed at it, but I believe we need to be concerned. I believe we need to be informed, and then informed in the Scripture, knowing that all these things are happening for a purpose and for a reason, and that is the coming of our Lord. And I believe his coming is quickly approaching, and what we read tonight will one day take place, and it will happen just like the Scripture gives to us. First part of the book of Revelation, John says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God gave him this vision. And we have it recorded in our Bible, 20-something chapters, and we give he gives us an overview of what's going to take place in the last days. Now let's begin reading in verse number 4 of chapter 15, sort of as an introduction reading to chapter 16, because they go together. Verse number 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, a temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed with pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke of the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Verse 1, chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. These seven vials, we know what a vial is. It's a container that holds liquid. And the picture here depicted like a picture, and we've used the word bowl just to get in our mind the thought or the vision that it's something that carries or holds a liquid. And that's, of course, typology. The liquid that is typed in this is the wrath of God. And as the other things that we've studied, we find that there are seven different vials of wrath. And when God pours them out, there are certain things that happen upon this earth. These vials and their contents, I believe, are literal. I believe the angels of heaven that God summons to himself, and they are given these seven, each angel a vial. And when the scripture tells us what's going to take place when he pours out upon the earth, I believe it is a literal pouring out of the wrath of God, which will result in devastation worldwide that has never been like it before, nor probably after. And so these seven vials of wrath, and we'll look at them individually tonight, and these judgments that God puts out upon mankind that has rejected the word of the Lord and has rejected the Son of God and has rejected righteousness as a way of life. And there is yet a future for us. But if the Lord comes tonight, then these things that we have studied will be set in process, and they will take place in that seven-year period. We studied back before October. We studied about the 70th week of Daniel, which is a period of 7 years. It has yet been unfulfilled in Daniel's prophecy. And that particular prophecy is the time of the revelation or the time of the tribulation. Satan has always desired to be worshipped. That has always been his desire. When he was Lucifer in heaven, when he was the angel of the morning, when he is the one that took care of the music of heaven, he desired to be worshipped just like God. And the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah tells us some of the things that happened there when he rebelled against the Lord. And he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to set myself up as God to be worshipped. And so we know there's a war in heaven, and the angels that were with Lucifer, they were taken out of, kicked out of heaven, and the demons of hell now are very active, and Lucifer, Satan, that wicked one, as the scripture gives him many, many titles that describe his actions, is the leader of that dark world, but he still desires to be worshipped. He still has that desire that men fall down before him, and he thinks he's going to get it done. I think right now he probably thinks he's got the world just exactly where he wants them, because this world is doing exactly what he desires for it to do. But we find that God has already told us in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, God says we'll have no other gods before us. That was given to the Jew, and that is applied to every individual, every person that ever has or shall live. Shall be no other God except Jehovah God. And when men put something else between God and themselves, and that becomes their God. In our generation, we have a lot of gods. We talk about the third world countries and all their hideous gods and all their things that we can see and the things they put on their walls and what they bow down to. Well, we are just as idolatrous many times. It may look better. It could be a fine house. It could be a car. Could be a bank account. Could be a friend. Could be anything that stands between us and the Lord becomes our idol. And so we find that the devil has men and mankind under his disposal right now. And God says there's a day coming. He's going to give these seven angels seven vials, and they're going to be sent forth to bring about wrath, the wrath of God upon this earth. Let's look at verse number 2, and this is the first one that's mentioned. There's not a whole lot said about them, but there's a whole lot said in a few words about these vials of wrath. Verse number 2, "And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now, we understand from this particular verse, just one verse, and it gives you the first vial of wrath. But we understand from reading this that it is directed toward one group of people. It is directed toward those that have received the mark of the beast. Back 2 or 3 weeks ago, we found out that mark of the beast was the mark of a man, or the number of a man's 666. And the scripture says that during this period, time period, that mankind will not be able to buy nor sell. They'll not be able to do commerce. They'll not be able to do anything to help themselves unless they receive the mark of the beast. That beast is who we call the Antichrist. He sets up an image of himself. We noticed how that in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar made an image of himself, and he said, "You must fall down. You must worship this image." And he said, "If you don't fall down, you're going to suffer the consequences." And of course, some of them would not do that. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, those men that were right with God, and they were protected of the Lord. And so in the Babylonian kingdom, there was a man that set up an image of himself. And old Nebuchadnezzar is a type, and he's a forerunner who we speak of as as the Antichrist. This beast that is described in chapter 13 and 14 that comes up out of the sea of mankind, I believe he's going to be a Gentile. I believe he'll be out of a particular group of people that are Gentile. And because the sea is always representative as a group of people that are separate from the Jews. And so John says he sees this beast, which is nothing more than a man, and he has beastly attitudes and activities. And John describes him as certain things about him that represents the power that was given to him. And so he sets up an image of himself, and everybody is supposed to worship the image of the beast. And they received his mark, and so therefore they're under the control, they're under the command of this man we call Antichrist. Now, he will probably not be called Antichrist when he is active upon this earth. He'll be called ruler, or he'll have a name. He's a person, and he'll not be called Antichrist. We know him as that because the scripture says he is anti. He is against Christ. He's the antitype of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he sets up his image, and he says everyone must worship his image. And the Bible even tells us that he sits in the temple of the Jews and makes himself out to be God. And we know there's going to be another temple built because of the statements about that. The temple now is no longer in existence. The place of the temple is a very controversial place. But before all these things happen, there will be a tribulation temple, and they're getting ready to build it right now. A lot of things, a lot of activities in Israel to build. They desire to have another temple. And if we see the foundation laid and put in that particular thing, you better have your bags ready because we're going to leave here. And that is the temple of the Antichrist. That's where he will set himself up. And so we find that the Lord sends this first angel, and he tells us here that he is bringing about a plague upon these folks. And the word it says here it's a noisome and a grievous sore. The word noisome just means very painful, very, very painful sore that comes upon the people that have received the mark of the beast and that have worshipped him. So God directs this angel to go to a particular group of people, which are most of the people that are living upon the face of this earth during this time, because he has control. And there are many that have been martyred. There's many Christians that will not take the mark of the beast, and so therefore they have very, very hard, difficult times. Many of them are killed because of their faith in the Son of God. And so this first vial, or this first bowl, or this first pouring out of wrath is upon this group of people that have bowed their knee to the Satan's man, and they bowed to that image, and they've taken the mark, and they've put their whole allegiance to this man that the Bible calls Antichrist. And so we find that he goes out and has a grievous sore and a noisome sore upon men which had the mark of the beast and upon which worshipped his image. This particular plague that comes upon the earth during this time is very similar to what you find in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number, or Exodus chapter number 9, when that came upon Egypt. Now, a lot of the things that happen in the Revelation have already taken place in the plagues of Egypt, and so they are happening once again. So this first vial is poured out upon most of the world. And the scripture says here they have noisome and grievous sores. And by the way, they're not curable. God brings about judgment upon man because he rejects the Son of God. That's the first vial. Painful sores, as it says here, broke out on those who had mark of the beast and worship his image. And that's verse number 2. Now, verse number 3. The second vial. It says, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, here we find just very simple. All you have to do is read it, and that's what happens. Every living creature, and the word here is used soul, living creature, that's in the sea, they die. The seas become as blood. And God pours out upon the waters of this world. Now, we know how important water is. We know how important sea travel is. Even in our modern day world, there's much cargo goes across the oceans and the seas, and it's very strategic area. Sometimes men have fought wars over particular places to be able to go through. And this second vial comes upon humans, and it is as if blood was shed upon the earth. And this, much like the second trumpet, and the third part of the sea becomes blood in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8. So under the second seal, blood is mentioned there. Under the trumpet, blood is mentioned there. A third part of the sea becomes blood, Revelation 8:8. But here, all the water is affected. And I just take it literally for what it says. I believe it'll take place, and I believe it'll happen just like the Lord gives to us. And I wonder how men will deal with that. It says it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. No more life in the sea. God takes care of that. That's the second judgment, or the second vial of wrath poured out upon mankind. The first one is upon man. The second one is upon the sea that man uses so very effectively for his own way. All right, the third vow. It is recorded in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. So let's read those. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, which was, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Here we find the second vial is upon the sea. The third vial is upon the rivers and the fountains of the deep. We call them springs. And the scripture says here that they all what? Become blood. Do we believe that? Is that so far-fetched that we could never accept that? I believe it's just like what it says. I think everything in the Revelation that you can take literally, I believe you need to take literally. And so we find here that this third angel pours out his judgment upon the rivers, the fountains of water, and they became blood. And when that takes place, there's an angel. It says here, it's the angel of the waters. And he gives homage unto the Lord and worships unto the Lord. Says, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou wast, thou art, thou shall be. Thou art worthy, Lord. He says here that he says, O Lord, which art, wast, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of heaven, he's going to judge mankind, and he's got a book that everything's recorded in. And we don't have to have eyewitnesses. We don't have to have someone called up to corroborate somebody's story. God knows exactly what is. The Bible in the Old Testament says that my record's in heaven. And your record, by the way, is in heaven too. And the Lord knows all about us. It's all recorded. He gives us a bottle for our tears. He's got a book for our testimonies. And he does that. He has that. Well, these folks that have taken the mark of the beast, they are being judged now because of their actions. And this angel of the waters, he said, Lord, you're righteous because you was and you are and you shall be. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the way, what was wrong yesterday is wrong today. And what's wrong today will be wrong tomorrow. That's just a set facts of the scripture. We do not have a subjective scripture. We have a scripture that is very pointed and gives to us, thou shalt not. And so we find that he says here that you're worthy, or you are the one that you're righteous. And then he tells us why for this judgment. The first vial was because they'd received the mark of the beast. They had worshipped his image. This third vial is because they have shed the blood of saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They have shed the blood of the saints. When you think about all the that great host of people that we read about in earlier chapters of Revelation, chapter 6 or 7, somewhere in that area, there's a great host of people that cannot be numbered out of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, every language. And the Bible says, and we mentioned this about every week, that it's a number that no man can number. So there's a great host of people, I believe, that get saved during the tribulation. They hear the gospel, I believe, for the first time. And they hear the message of salvation and the 144,000 God's evangelist goes out and they proclaim that message and people get saved. By the way, when you proclaim the word of God, somebody gets saved somewhere. They hear the message, they believe, and trust the Lord. And so the Bible even tells us in Revelation that there's a scene that John shows us that all the saints that are gathered under the under the altar, they cry out to the Lord, "How long, Lord, is it going to be before you avenge our blood?" They have died a martyr's death. And there in heaven, they cry out, "How long?" And I believe this is where God avenges their blood. He says, the angel here says, "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets." Now he says, "And thou hast given them blood to drink." And then those last four words there, verse 6, "For they are worthy." They are worthy of what's taking place. They have done all these things. They have made all the deaths and all the crimes and all the activity against the child of God. And the angel says they're worthy of what they get. You know, when a person dies without God, they die, they go to hell. That's a bad thought for us to think. But you know, all of us are worthy to go to hell. I should go to hell. You should go to hell. We're not worthy for the goodness of our Lord. But by His grace, thank God, one day He called us. And we become a new creature in Christ, and we are a child of the King. And we have salvation. We have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts, and we give it to folks. But those that will not accept, and these folks that are being judged now, are not people that have never heard, because those evangelists have preached the message worldwide, and they follow after the beast. They take his mark. They worship his image. They kill the saints. They kill the prophets. And the angel says they're worthy for what they're getting. They've shed the blood. Now, God, you've making them drink the blood. And then John says, "I heard another out of the altar say, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments.'" You can be assured that everything that God does is true and righteous. You can be assured that everything the Lord does to you and I, He does it according to truth and to righteousness. Everything He gives to us is because of His love for us. But we find here that this voice out of the altar, terrible, terrible vial, terrible wrath. The seas have become like blood, and everything in the sea dies. Can you imagine the stench? Everything dies. All the fishermen have no fish. All the whales, all the creatures of the sea and of the depths of the sea, they all die. And God's judging the world because of their activity against Him. And so the water becomes blood that many of them get their livelihood from. The water becomes blood that they drink, the fountains of the deep, the springs, the fresh water, the rivers. Now, I'd hate to drink out of some of our rivers, but it's drinkable. I mean, maybe live, not be too sick. But when all becomes blood, it's not usable. And it's not the color of blood, it becomes what? Blood. And so the angel says, "They want blood, you've given them blood. Holy and righteous are thy judgments." Terrible time coming upon this earth. The fourth seal. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Here's the epitome of wickedness. They could repent, but they rejected repentance. Here's the attitude of man, and they curse God. They know who they're cursing. They're not cursing the Antichrist. They're not cursing the one that's got control of them. They're cursing God. I get sort of tired of going to town hearing people curse my God. Doesn't matter who's around. Doesn't matter what's going on. Just continual filth out of their mouth. think it's bad now. Wait till they don't have anything to drink. Wait till they're hurting with the sores. Wait till the sun scorches them and they curse God. Scorch men with fire. All has to happen, scientists tell us, all has to happen is if our earth was just a few thousand miles closer to the sun, we'd all be toast anyway. If God has the ability to stop the sun, and he did that, if God has the ability to speak and there was light and then make the sun, you realize there was light upon this earth before God ever said, "I'm going to make the sun, the moon, the stars." God just said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Where did it come from? It came from God. So if he has the ability to do that and then a day or two later make the stars and the sun and the moon, and if he has the ability to stop it or to move it back 10 degrees, if God has that ability, he can heat it up just as much as he wants to. And he heats it up enough to scorch ungodly men. Scorch with great heat. And the Bible says, and blaspheme the name of God. And John says, this God they're blaspheming, he has the power over these plagues. He's the one sending it. Next time somebody and here says, all I want to hear about is the love of God, thank God for his love. But I'll tell you what, there's another side of God, and it's the wrath of God. And there comes a day when grace runs out. There comes a day when judgment falls. There comes a time when man is going to stand before God and they'll have nothing to say except guilty. And here John says they curse him who has the power over these plagues. And then it says, and they repented not to give him glory. It's amazing. They repented not. So in these last, now we're reading them fast, but it's going to take 3.5 years for this to take place. How long each one lasts, I don't know. I believe the water turned to blood is going to last a long time. The sun, scorching man, it could last a long time. But time's running out for these folks anyway. And so we have the fourth vial. The sun is intensified to the point of scorching people. They won't want to lay out and get a tan those days. I mean, it's going to be hot. I got in my car a while ago when I first got it, it says 101. I think it's been sitting in the sun too long because it wasn't that hot. But never been scorched, have you? I've had some sunburn, but that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about scorching. He intensifies. He turns the heat up upon a unregenerate world, and worthy are they, and true and righteous are his judgments. God has the right to do anything he desires to do to mankind. He made us, he owns us, and he can do what he wants to with us. He is our sovereign God. Verse number 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat or the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Here God pours out this fifth angel pours out his vial or his bowl, and it's poured out upon the throne or the seat of the beast. The Antichrist. And I don't know what all entails of this. All we have is the scripture here. And in that pouring out, there was a darkness upon the face of his kingdom. And then it says that they gnawed their tongues for pain. I don't know what the darkness has to do with the pain. God doesn't tell us. But in this fifth vial or this fifth bowl of judgment, the throne of the beast or the kingdom of the beast. And his kingdom is large. Very well, some people believe, and I'm not going to try to disprove it. It may be true, very well could be, that it is a revitalized Roman Empire, or a divided Roman Empire anyway. Because Daniel's vision of the throne, or of the image that Nebuchadnezzar made, that from the thighs down is Rome. And it's divided. We have Eastern Orthodox, we have Western Rome, and then the ten toes, the feet and the ten toes that we studied, it's mingled with iron and clay. Every time there's a going down of the figure, it becomes weaker. But it's all from there down is Roman Empire. And certainly the last part is the day of the coming of the Lord. So his kingdom, whatever it is, if you trace out the old Roman Empire and you trace out the European economic community, you're going to have a whole lot of the old Roman Empire, of the EU. Used to be called Common Market. And so Britain just voted out of that. That's probably the best thing they ever did. As far as Scripture is concerned, it may not be so good for them other ways. But all this is playing to one particular thing. My Lord is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming very, very soon. And so this plague, here the angel pours out upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their teeth or their tongues for pain. Notice here what they do, verse 11. And blaspheme the God of where? Heaven. They know who he is. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains, their sores, and they repented not their deeds. This same crowd that back in verse number 2, the sores infest their body, this same crowd that is now living in darkness, this same crowd that's been scorched with the fire, this same crowd that many of them are having to figure out how they're going to survive because all the water is blood, and they may be smart enough to take parts of that, and I don't know. They survived, but that same crowd, now they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their sores and their pain, and they repent not of their deeds. What are their deeds? Ungodliness, wickedness, and rejection of the Son of God. So when you get, when they opened up the seven seal book, I thought that's pretty bad. When they blow the seven trumpets, that's pretty bad. But I'll tell you what, these seven vials are worse than all those put together. It's among the same group of people, and they blaspheme God. Verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. I wish I had thought and got to put a slide or a PowerPoint here of that particular part of the world, and the Euphrates, one of the oldest rivers of the world. Talked about a lot in the Scripture. And we find that when this sixth angel pours out his wrath, it's not upon people. It's not upon a kingdom. It's not upon any living creature. It's upon a river. Oh, the river's already turned to blood. That's part of the rivers. And he pours his vial out upon the great river Euphrates. And it dries up to make way of the kings of the east. Now we could stop there and do some more study We'll get into it a little bit later. But the kings of the east, if you'll look on a map, I got a map this week across my, I guess it's in Facebook. It had the map of the world, and all the countries that were Islamic countries was colored green. Israel was colored red. And you couldn't even hardly see the little red dot. And the caption was why do they want Israel's land? They don't need land. They've got land. They've got territory. They're gaining continually. They're going westward into Europe, and might as well admit it, they're in America, growing very rapidly. Why do they want Israel? Oh, they want that place that God says is for him. The Ishmaelites have always been a wild people. When Abraham and Hagar had that son called Ishmael, he's a wild man. God said he'll not be able to be trained. He'll not be able to be tamed. He's a wild man. And buddy, he's wild tonight. The terrorists, the attacks, they're Ishmaelites. But why do they want Israel? Why don't they have that little red dot? Because that's God's chosen people. That's God's chosen land. And Jerusalem is God's chosen city. For one day Jesus shall sit upon the throne of his father David from the city where? Jerusalem. You can be rest assured they're not going to get it. They may fight for it and they may struggle for it and they may get it every once in a while, but they haven't had it since 1948. In 67, the Seven-Day War, Israel got back Jerusalem. And they'll never give it back, I don't think. That is their capital. Netanyahu has moved all the business from Tel Aviv, the capital of Israel. Most of it's being done now from Israel, from Jerusalem, the pure, real capital of Israel. But here the angel comes and dries up the river Euphrates to make way the kings of the east. The kings of the east are China, Korea, Japan, those eastern countries. And he dries up this because there's an army coming one day. The Bible says they come from the east. They come from the north, Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38. They come from the south. It even gives you names of Libya, Egypt. I mean, God tells you who they are. So to the little dot Israel, here on the western side is the Mediterranean. The northern side, the northern part is Iraq, Iran, and on further north is the old bear called Russia. Be assured, Russia's not dead. He has her eyes on that little place called Israel. And then you have the eastern countries, and a little later we'll read, all those nations come against the people of God. And here it makes a way for them. God's poured out his wrath. Euphrates dries up, makes a way for that over probably million man army, 10 million man, whatever it is. And they're going to all converge on this one little spot. And the Jew is pushed to the seashore. They're pushed to the Mediterranean Sea, and they have nowhere to go. They've been there before. Red Sea at one time. Jordan River one time, but this time it's the Mediterranean. They have nowhere to go. God doesn't open up the sea, but God opens up a way that they have security, they have safety. And the Bible says that all those armies converge, and they're going to be a battle that has never been like it before. And the Bible says the blood of dead men are going to run in the valley of Megiddo, to the depth of the horse's bridle. God gives us a depth. And he tells us how long from point A to point B. And I figured it up one time, it's about 175 miles. A lot of blood. But Joe, God's going to get the victory. I'm glad tonight I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, the river is dried up to make way for the kings of the east to come for the battle of Armageddon. I thought we might, I was hoping to get through this tonight, but we probably will stop there. Next week we'll we'll look, or the next time we'll look at verses 13, 14, 15, and 16 is that parenthesis that we have between every one of the trumpet has, the seven seal book has had a parenthesis, something else was talked about, and here we have four verses that give us that parenthetical, and then the seventh trumpet poured out, and that one hits the air. So we'll look at that, and then if you get in, when you get in chapter 17, it gets really, really interesting because old Babylon, the great harlot, is destroyed. And we'll look at those things next time. All right, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer.